Test, test. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship on the 22nd of May. I've entitled this message, Who Cares? You know, Joseph Parker, a preacher from the 1800s, was known to have said, Preach often to those with troubled hearts. Ever known anyone with a troubled heart? I think that Joseph Parker was onto something there. We all need to hear from God, and we need to hear it often. In today's world, the mere complexities of our fast-moving societies puts demands on us that have never before been experienced in the history of mankind. We need to be thankful to God for only 24 hours in a day. Otherwise, most of us wouldn't make it for sure. Today, I want to share with you a simple text from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Now, starting with verse 6. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. I'm sure that many of you can recall a number of biblical but neglected texts. In other words, texts that we are all too familiar with, but we take them for granted. For example, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. No biblical verse is more important to a Christian, yet it's like, yeah, I know all that. But to not bask in and meditate on the wonderful truths that are contained in that one verse is a travesty of the wonderful blessing that we've received as the called out ones of God. It's a text that is easily glossed over, yet how many hearts understand how God can love the whole world, yet condemn people to hell? Do we truly have a biblical understanding of the word love? Do we truly understand how wonderful is the cross of Christ? How about John 14:27? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus said we'd hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do you have peace? Do you have a troubled heart? Today I want to talk about giving all your cares to God. At the same time, the passage is telling us to be strong. The passage is telling us that we are going to suffer. It tells us that we have an enemy roaming around, wanting to kill and eat us. But be strong, have peace, and give all your cares to God. How many of you have really thought about that? I know this is deep stuff, folks, but the Apostle Paul said that as we mature in the faith, we have to be fed meat and not the milk of the word like babies. That's why we come to church, why we come to Sunday school. We not only want to be able to give an answer for the hope that's in us, but we also want to be well-grounded in the faith so that when we do suffer, when we are attacked, when we have doubts, we're able to come through those trials stronger in the faith and not weaker. Now, I know that everyone in this room has lost a loved one. Every person in this room has experienced a troubled heart. Perhaps you've asked the question, God, where were you, God? Perhaps you've asked him, why him or why her? Why now? How does that glorify you, God? Perhaps you thought that God didn't care how you felt. The verse doesn't just say, give all your worries and cares to God. It also says, because he cares about you. You are in this verse. He is speaking of your cares. So much in this world's impersonal. We live in an age of bigness and numbers, social security insurance policies, credit cards, UPC codes, scanners, computers. Everything's numbers. It's all a foreshadow of the day when the Antichrist will assign every person a number and require it for anyone to buy and sell. But our God is a personal God. He still knows you as an individual. God doesn't keep track of his own by cosmic computers. He knows his own by name. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. John 10:3. You aren't just a face in the crowd. When Zacchaeus climbed a tree to get a better look at Jesus, Jesus called him by name and said, we'll be dining at your house today. When the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment and was healed, he told her that her faith had made her well. He laid his hand on the children and prayed. In Matthew 17:14-18, he showed he even had time for those who were demon-possessed. God has time for you also. Your cares are in this verse. He cares about your family, your children, wife, husband. He cares about your finances, future, job, security, public opinion. He cares about the economy, businesses, a coming depression, debts. He cares about your health, the health of others, including mental health. He cares about world conditions, war, nuclear destruction. Every care that you are carrying is in this verse. The first thing I want you to understand is that our strength comes from the Lord. It would make no sense for Jesus to tell you to put your cares on him if his strength was not sufficient to carry the day. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Psalm 22:19, but you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Psalm 28:7-8, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Psalm 119:28, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Isaiah 40:29-31. He gives strength through to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I want you to note that this strength is not only for spiritual unseen battles. These verses talk of strength for tangible, physical, emotional, and spiritual battles. How many of you know that worrying can wear you down physically? In 1 Kings 18:19, we're told of one of the most fantastic miracles that God did through the prophet Elijah. he challenged the prophets of Baal to come up, call upon their God and call down fire upon the altar. Of course, no matter how hard they tried, nothing happened. Then Elijah had them dig a trench around the altar and fill it with water. And of course, he called upon God, and God not only burned the altar, but burned up all the water in the trench. And then he and the remaining prophets loyal to God fell upon the prophets of Baal and killed them all. Well, those prophets belonged to Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, and she was not a happy camper. Listen to this from 1 Kings chapter 19. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." 1 Kings 19:3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servants there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Do you see that? After performing one of the greatest miracles in history, Elijah ran for his life, and totally exhausted, fell down and prayed that God would let him die. Mountaintop experiences are always followed by time in the valley. 1 Kings continues with verse 5. When he lay down under the bush and fell asleep, all at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. God will give you the strength to accomplish his will through you. Now, I've shared this with people before. I used to bring my troubles to bed with me when I was in the service, and I brought them home when I worked at Caterpillar. Wherever I worked, it seemed I would go to bed, and my mind would just work overtime, worrying about how I was going to deal with one issue or another, or this person or another person. Seemed there was always something or somebody that was causing me to worry or get upset about. One night I just prayed, "God, you're going to be up all night anyway, and I need some sleep. So would you just take care of the worrying, the retaliation, the injustices, and anything else that seems to be keeping me awake? In Jesus' name, amen." I've never laid awake worrying about anything since. The next thing I want you to get is that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah said in chapter 8, verse 10, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to your Lord, to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. You can find that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. In fact, it's our Christian duty to rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 3, 1, 4, 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. "In Christ, the believers filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. "Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." Acts 13, verse 52. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Our strength comes from the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And lastly, our strength is joy in the midst of sorrow and suffering. How can that be? If you look up joy in Webster's Dictionary, you'll find joy defined as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. You will also find that the definition of sorrow is intense sadness, a feeling of deep distress caused by loss, disappointment, or other misfortune suffered by oneself or others. You'll also find that joy is the antonym for sorrow, and of course sorrow is the antonym for joy. They are complete opposites, yet the Bible tells us to have joy in the midst of sorrow. Doesn't seem possible, does it? However, because of its supernatural origin, the joy of the Lord, our gladness of heart, is present even through the trials of life. It's more than a feeling. It's deep down knowing who we are. We know we are children of God, and no one can snatch us away from Him. John chapter 10, verses 28 through 29. We are heirs to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and no one can steal it from us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. We see the author and finisher of our faith. And let the enemy rage ever so much, we know who wins in the end. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and Psalm chapter 2. How many of you know that when hope fails, there goes your strength? But we have a wonderful and magnificent hope that words cannot describe. And it is this hope that brings us joy even in the midst of the worst sadness. No, we don't laugh at tragedy or jump up and down and thank God that we've lost a loved one. But deep down inside, there's a joy of knowing who we are that sadness cannot steal away. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Adverse circumstances, instead of hindering our faith, can actually enhance our joy. Paul and Silas knew adversity as they sat with their feet in the stocks of a Philippian jail cell. Their legal rights had been violated. They'd been arrested without cause and beaten without a trial. At midnight, since they couldn't sleep, they sang loudly the praises of the Lord they were serving. Acts 16:25. A miracle soon followed. Verse 26. Their chains fell off and jail cell open. The apostles in Jerusalem were arrested twice and ordered not to preach in Jesus' name. The second time they faced the court, they were beaten. Unfazed, they returned home rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name and ready to preach some more. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Of course, the apostles were only following the example of our Lord, who had, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He went to the cross for the joy set before him. Hard for a non-believer to understand that. The joy of the Lord may be inexplicable to the one who does not possess it. But for the believer in Christ, the joy of the Lord comes as naturally as grapes on a vine. As we abide in Christ, the true vine, we, the branches, are full of His strength and vitality. And the fruit we produce, including joy, is His doing. John chapter 15, verse 5. The joy and strength are supernatural joy and supernatural strength. Their source is God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, all things are not good. It would be mockery to say that they are. The death of a child is not good. Cancer is not good. Drug addiction is not good. War is not good. Blasphemy is not good. But the Bible says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You have been called out according to his purpose. If you have believed in Jesus, your destiny is heaven. In the chemistry of the cross, God takes things that in and of themselves are bad, and he puts them together much as a chemist might take chemicals that in and of themselves would cause harm or damage and mixes them to make a medicine that brings healing. For example, many of us have some salt with our meals. Table salt is made up of both sodium and chloride. By itself, sodium is a deadly poison. And so is chloride. Put them together and you have ordinary table salt. Salt flavors food, and a certain amount of salt is necessary for health and life. We cannot live without some salt in our systems. God can take things that are bad and put them in the crucible of his wisdom and love. He works all things together for good, and he gives us the glorious, wonderful promise that he will do so. We know that we have victory over sin and over Satan. But this verse in Romans teaches us that we also have victory over our circumstances. It says that all things work together for good. Cares are roadblocks to blessings. Worrying and cares prevent you from experiencing the joy of the Lord. With cares removed, we can experience the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. No one understands like Jesus. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? He cares. Who cares when my heart is weary? He cares. He wants to take all your cares. So as I wrap this up, do you wonder if he cares? Then go to the cross. The one who cared enough to save us will care for all our cares. He's working out his plan for our eternity in his divine wisdom. He never promised to take away all our troubles. We live in a sin-sick, fallen world, but he tells us to cast our worries and cares upon him. He says in Matthew 6, verse 27, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Leave your worries and cares at the cross. He carried the whole weight of the whole world's sins upon his shoulders, and he's promised to take your worry and cares as well. He's able to do all that we can hope for or even imagine. God bless you. Go in peace.